Let me gather your thoughts. You ready? John 8:36, Jesus speaking. He says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Galatians 5:1, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." One of the most misunderstood Bible truths is the believer's freedom in Christ. I think too often it's used as a pretext for freedom to live the way I want to live, the way I choose. Have you ever thought of the incredible freedom that is negative? By that I mean this, that our freedom is not a license to do something, but rather it is freedom from something. And I think that we need to discover the joy of things that you don't have to do. You know, there's things that I used to do that I would get a guilty conscience about. But God has given victory in those areas. And as a result, I don't have to do them anymore. I have freedom from that. And so I want to speak to you about several areas of freedom in the minutes that we have before our business meeting. Heavenly Father, we need you. And we thank you for the liberty, the freedom that we as believers have to follow you and to please you, to obey you, as we spoke about this morning. Lord, thank you for that power. Thank you for that authority, for that freedom that you give to us as believers. Now I pray that you'll use these thoughts to speak to our hearts once again as we turn and look at the scripture and what you have to say to us. For Jesus' glory, in his name we pray it. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 is where I'd have you as quickly as possible to turn, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know it as the what? The love chapter. The word charity refers to the love that God has put in the heart of his people. And I often think about this because it's in the context of spiritual gifts. And it makes very clear in the first three verses that spiritual fruit, i.e., the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, trumps spiritual gifts. He says, look, if you have the gift of tongues, but you don't have this love, you're just a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. If you have the gift of prophecy, you understand all words of knowledge, and you have all faith, you can remove mountains, but you're missing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. It doesn't profit anything. And then, beginning in verse 4, he gives some of the significance of the importance of this fruit of the Spirit, which is love, God's love. And I want to put it in the context of freedom. And if you'll look with me in verse 5, he says this, that this God kind of love that you and I are the recipients of, if you're a believer, you're the recipient of it. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. So you're a recipient of God's love. And if that is true, notice how it acts in verse 5. Seeketh not her own. One of the first areas of freedom that I want to enjoy, and I hope you do too, is a freedom from myself. Seeketh not her own. I don't believe that there's any greater slavery than me insisting on and trying hard in all situations to have my own way. Nothing, I think, destroys my relationship with others more quickly, more completely, than the bondage that I have to my own personal agenda. I think it's a tyranny. It's a tyranny that poisons a marriage. It poisons parent-child relationships. It poisons friendships, because at the core of sin is me, is self, is I. Me getting what I want. Believers need to settle it once and for all, like Jesus there in that Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but thine be done. A freedom from self. Your will crucified. You know, the Bible says that if you're a believer, you participated in the crucifixion. You were crucified when Jesus was crucified. And the crucifixion is your self-life. And so your will crucified. And Jesus is the one that frees us from the slavery of self-interest. And that is very healing. And it grows into a relationship that enables us to not make ourselves number one, but allows us to bow to others and ultimately to the Lord. So a freedom from myself. Here's another freedom. Look back in verse 4, and it says that charity envieth not. It vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. That is a freedom from appearance. We can easily, and often do, destroy priceless relationships by trying to keep up appearances rather than forgetting about ourselves. And I believe that Jesus wants to bring us to a place where we don't always have to look good in the eyes of other people, where we are who we are. We are with all of our foibles, with all of our warts, you might say. That's who we are. And the mask comes off, and we don't try to come off as looking good in every situation. There's a deliverance from that bondage, wanting to impress people all the time and refusing to lose before others. Often we resent people that make us look bad, and sometimes it's our own family members that we resent for that. But you know what? Jesus gives us the freedom to fail. And I've come to realize that some things aren't learned through success. Some things are only learned through failure. And Jesus gives us that room, and he gives us freedom from appearances. Another one is, and I don't necessarily see it here in this 13th chapter, but I was thinking about this, a freedom from defending. And that is a liberty for believers to be God-dependent enough to entrust him with their reputation, to entrust God with their future, to entrust their life to the Lord, so that when you are attacked or criticized, even because of a misunderstanding or an actual wrong that you've done, and someone pounces on you, how quick are we to give an alibi or a good excuse? There's a wonderful freedom that comes to us when we don't try to defend ourselves. I wonder who's freer? One who, with uncontrollable impulse to speak and defend themselves, or a person who has an impulse to defend themselves but is free to be quiet and not do so? Jesus can set you free from having to have the last word. And that is a real freedom. It really is. He can set you free from learning and teach you to learn how to lose. How much richer our relationships would be if we'd have this freedom from defending. Are you as free as God wants you to be? There's a third freedom that I wanted to mention in the sixth verse. It says, this love, this God love, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. That's a freedom to be different. Have you ever experienced the bondage in a group setting where you have to do something that you don't want to because you fear that you won't please the crowd? Like Peter, denying the one you love in a crowd. Or like the three Hebrew teenagers that were free to defy the world and stare death in the face and did right. A freedom to be different. And I appeal especially on this point, perhaps to the teenagers, to the young people that are here, that you have this freedom to be different, that you don't have to fit in the world's mold. You don't have to go along with the pressures that your peers put upon you. You have a freedom to be different. You're never free until you're free to be different than the world around you. As long as you cave in to the world's desires for you, you'll never be what God wants you to be until you can do what's right regardless of the consequences. And then one final freedom. Go back to verse 5 where he says that love is not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. A freedom to forgive. Thinketh no evil. Keeps no record of wrongs, actually, is what it means. Imagine how different relationships would be if we would just let God wipe clean through forgiveness. I remember a long time ago counseling a couple, and the wife produced a small notebook in which she kept a careful record of all of her husband's wrongs. That wasn't working. We had to get rid of that notebook. We had to destroy that notebook if any progress was going to be made. There's enough love. There's enough power in the cross to enable you and I, by the Holy Spirit, to forget past hurts and to continue with relationships as if there never was any hurt. Choose to dwell with the memory of hurts that you are unwilling to forgive is like poison that pollutes and destroys your relationships. Resentment destroys, but grace is refreshing. So freedom, freedom from myself, freedom from appearance, freedom from defending, freedom to be different, and freedom to forgive.